I should think you're getting the message that it's all about Mary. Shall we pray before I preach? Lord, teach us through your word and by your spirit, we ask. Amen. Before I start talking about Mary, I should say that I've been reading a book called Encounters with Jesus by Tim Keller, which I do recommend. And quite a lot of what I'm going to say is influenced by him, shall I say. We all love Mary, don't we? We see God putting his plans into action. We see Mary's reaction to the part she is to play, and we wonder at her, her straightforward, honest reactions, her willingness to do just what God asks of her. She obviously has an enormous trust in God. What courage it's given her. What an obedient heart she has. Mary was probably quite a young girl, about 14, shall we say, when our story starts. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, who was a carpenter, and probably a few years older than she was. At that time, an engagement was much more definite than it is for us. We see the time of engagement as a trial time, don't we? If either party feels they don't want to go on and get married, they should feel free to break it off. Better to not get married than to get married and regret it. For Mary and Joseph, in their culture, engagement was taken much more seriously. Breaking an engagement was almost as serious as divorce. We can imagine Mary first becoming conscious that Joseph liked her, perhaps wondering why he liked her when there were lots of prettier girls around. Joseph finally coming to talk with Mary's parents and asking to marry her. Perhaps they were surprised. I expect they were pleased. Joseph was an honest, hard-working man. He'd never be rich, but he wouldn't let Mary down. And what about Mary? She was probably pleased too. Joseph was kind and strong. She felt confident he would support her if things got tough. And so they were engaged. Perhaps we can imagine Joseph spending time making furniture for them, showing it to Mary and her mother whenever they went past his workshop. Mary busy with her preparations for the wedding too. And then an angel. An angel appeared to her. What is the angel telling her? A son. Call him Jesus, which means God saves. The Son of the Most High, that's what he said. He's going to have the throne of his ancestor David. Reign over Israel forever. And then he almost repeats himself, his kingdom will never end. The angel has said the same thing twice. He really wants to get over the message, doesn't he? Yes, Mary, this is no ordinary baby. And he's destined to be no ordinary king. He is the Son of God Most High. His kingdom is forever. Now, Mary knew that God had promised her people a special king in David's line, a Messiah. Somehow, everyone had thought this meant a king just like King David. This king would free his country from any occupying power. Any Jewish girl at that time would want to be the mother of the Messiah. But this baby is going to be much more than expected. The Son of God Most High. Mary has been brought up in a strictly monotheistic faith of Judaism. What did the angel mean? We may think that we find the idea of God having a special son difficult. We've got used to the idea of Trinity, haven't we, but probably found it a difficult idea to accept when we first heard it. We forget that Mary would find it just as difficult. She was a virgin, so how could this be? She needed to know, so she asks. The angel goes on to say, the baby will be holy, called the Son of God. The message meant that a human being would be divine. And this doesn't fit with the expectations of Mary's age or any other age, come to that. Mary's people were not expecting the God of Sinai to come to earth as a baby, to be born of a young girl. Mary may have known about people in her people's past who had met with angels. There are stories of angels meeting with people in her scriptures, but this had not been reported for a very long time. Mary didn't know anyone who had met an angel. To say that the experience was unexpected is to put it mildly. Even so, the appearance of the angel is not as great a surprise as what he is saying. I guess we're all conditioned by the expectations of our age, aren't we? We find it difficult to believe in angels, in virgin birth, in God, the Son coming to earth in the form of a baby. And yet there's nothing illogical in all this. When we really put our minds to it, we can see that it is right, it is a possibility. Mary might have found some of the things she was being told easier to believe than we would, but everything in her upbringing would be telling her that God would not come to earth as a baby. Her God, the God of the Old Testament scriptures, was powerful and holy and quite different from man. But faced with something new, she doesn't shrug her shoulders and say impossible. She thinks about it to see if it's consistent with what she knew. And when she had thought, she did have a question to ask. Since she was a virgin, how was this going to happen? An honest question, truly seeking an answer, not the sort of question which is really seeking to pour scorn on the idea. The angel tells her how the child is to be conceived and adds, nothing will be impossible with God. So she had difficulties in getting her mind round it all. What the angel was saying didn't fit anything she was expecting. She obviously has other difficulties as well. What will Joseph say? What will her parents say? Yes, saying yes to the angel would obviously land her in all sorts of other difficulties. She'd be a young, unmarried, pregnant girl. She was promised in marriage to Joseph, the carpenter who lived close by. What would he think? What would he do? Would he believe that when she told him she'd met with an angel? Would he believe what the angel had said? If he didn't believe her, he would feel that she had let him down badly, wouldn't he? And he wouldn't marry her. Her status as an unmarried mother would mean rejection by all who knew her. Her story would be scandalous. Life would be very difficult for her. Everyone would believe she had another boyfriend, probably a Roman soldier, and there were plenty of those around the place, and everyone hated and despised them. Her family might throw her out. Stoning was a common way of dealing with adulteresses. If she escaped that, probably becoming a prostitute would be her only option. If Joseph did believe her and still wanted to marry her, everyone else would still despise them both, assuming that they had been together before their marriage. There is some proof that in fact she and Joseph never lived down the stories told about them. When they went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's hometown, they could find nowhere to stay. Now you'd expect Joseph, it's his hometown, remember, to have loads of relatives there. We're suspicious that his relatives closed their doors on Mary. They despised her for what they assumed she had done. In one instance in the Gospels, Jesus is called Mary's son. Now that's just plain rude in that culture. If Joseph had accepted him, then the polite thing to call him was Joseph's son. So Mary had two sorts of difficulties to get over before she could say yes to the angel. The difficulty of getting her head around the things the angel had said to her. The difficulty of wondering what the neighbors would think. Would she be forever rejected in her society? Would nice people not want to know her? Mary's family may have been poor, but they were respected. Could she risk losing the respect of those around her? She had courage, didn't she? She really didn't know what the future would hold for her if she said yes. She sounds a bit like Abraham. God asked him to move out of the place where he lived. But when Abraham asked where he was to go, he was told that God would show him. Abraham got up and went, trusting in God. Mary would have known the story of Abraham well. Perhaps she had admired him all her life. Mary, in the same way, said yes, simply trusting in God. What courage she had, what a beautiful, obedient heart she had. God knew all about her battle. The angel told her of her cousin Elizabeth, somewhat older than herself, who had been married for many years without becoming pregnant, who was now pregnant. It must have been really reassuring for Mary to know of another miracle of God in Elizabeth's life. Elizabeth would understand. Looked at logically, of course, she should say yes to God, shouldn't she? If God asks you to do something, he will empower you. She makes it look so simple. But how easy do we find it? We all admire people who suddenly get up and go to another job, another home, another continent, because they feel that God is calling them to do something for him. But I guess it applies to the so-called smaller decisions in life too. Are we listening to God for those? If we are honest, we do like to be in control of our own lives, don't we? For example, are we prepared to talk about our faith to people outside the church? People will probably not understand, our reputations may be damaged, as people think that somehow we must be rather naive to believe as we do. Yes, following Christ will always be costly. But if we are to follow Jesus, we must be ready to give up things too. But if God has called you to do something, he will enable you. Nothing is impossible with God. That's what the angel said to Mary. In 1939, King George VI spoke live to offer a message of reassurance to his people. It was to be a landmark speech and was to have an important effect on the listening public as they were plunged into the uncertainty of war. "A new year is at hand," he said. "We cannot tell what it will bring. If it brings peace, how thankful we shall be. If it brings us continued struggle, we shall remain undaunted." And he went on to quote from Minnie Haskins' poem, The Gate of the Year. "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better to you than light and safer than a known way.'"